الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته الله 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 الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله نور السماوات والأرض، مثل نوره كمشكاة فيها مصباح، المصباح في زجاجة، الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار، نور على نور، يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء، ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس، والله بكل شيء عليم. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال، رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة، يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار، ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله، والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. والذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء، حتى إذا جاءه لم يجده شيئا ووجد الله عنده فوفاه حسابه، والله سريع الحساب. أو كظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه سحاب، ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض، إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها، ومن لم يجعل الله له نورا فما له من نور.
Today, inshallah, there are a few subjects that are going to be discussed, and the main theme is the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nur, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first ayah, or the first bit of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Now, this does not mean that the Quran is describing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being a light, okay, like the light we see and the rays that we see, the sunshine's rays or the artificial light that we have. This is not what is being meant by the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is meant here is that Allah is a guidance. Allah is a guidance, and that guidance is a nur through which the darknesses of misguidance are eliminated. This is what is meant here. Or another interpretation is, Allah is the nur of the heavens and earth. So nur means ilm, knowledge, and the opposite of that is jahl. However, this does not mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is describing Himself in a physical form, as some people misinterpret. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's saying Allah is the light, the nur of the heavens and the earth, means that Allah is the guidance through which the nur, it which eliminates the darkness of misguidance. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance is the nur through which the misguidance is eliminated. And this concept, or this idea of calling somebody something, it is prevalent in the Arabic language. For example, you might say about a generous person, for example, Zaydun Judun. Zayd is generosity. Zayd is generosity. So how could Zayd be generosity? Generosity is just an abstract term to describe a person, person's generosity. It's not a physical form. So how can you attribute a physical form to generosity and say that Zayd is generosity? What it means is that Zayd is so generous, he is so generous, that he is basically, if generosity could be put into flesh, he is generosity in the flesh. Okay, so this is what it's meant here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cannot be compared with the nur that we see around us, the light that we see around us. But what it means is that his guidance is a light through which the darkness is eliminated. So he is the light of the heavens and the earth, which means all of the humanity, all of the universe is meant here. And there are certain scholars and sahaba, they've have you know, different interpretations of this. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that Allahu nuru samawati wal ard means huwa hadi ahli samawati wal ard. He is the guider, he is the one who guides the dwellers of the heavens and the earth. Okay, so this is one interpretation. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he narrates from Anas bin Malik, he says that inna Allah yaqul nuri huda. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, my light is guidance. And this is the what Ibn Jarir al-Tabari has accepted as being correct. And Ubay ibn Ka'b, he says that what is meant here, هُوَ الْمُؤْمِنُ الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْإِيمَانَ وَالْقُرْآنَ فِي صَدْرِهِ فَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلَهُ فَقَالَ اللَّهُ نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Ubay ibn Ka'b says that what this ayah is referring to is that mu'min in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put iman and Qur'an in his heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an example of that person, that he is the light of the heavens and the earth, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the light of the heavens and the earth into his heart by giving him guidance. Okay, so basically all of the three meanings are quite close to each other. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ, the example of his light. Whose light? There are two opinions here also. One interpretation is the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's light. And the other meaning is the example of the light of a mu'min is how? It is كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِسْبَاحٍ. It is like a niche in the wall, a niche or a window or something like that. فِيهَا مِسْبَاحٍ, and inside that niche is a lantern. There's a lamp inside that niche. Okay, so basically from that niche, you see the light emanating from it. So what this example is, the niche or the window, it is an example of the whole universe. And when you put this lamp inside the whole universe, inside this niche, the whole of the universe is being enlightened, and whatever is in the room is being enlightened, and the niche itself, it is enlightened with that lamp. Al-Misbahu fi Zujaja. This lamp that is inside the niche, it is inside a glass. Now, why inside a glass? So if you have just an open flame, you will see exactly what the source of the flame is. You can see that there's a source of that flame, okay? But if you put that inside a glass, then the flame basically, it becomes kind of even out, and you cannot sometimes work out where that nur is, where that light is, what the source is. So if you take this nur to mean the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you would assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is hidden behind a form of a glass, like this flame is hidden behind a glass, and you cannot see the source of the flame. So this is one interpretation of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word zujaja. So this lamp, it is inside the glass. Az-zujajatu ka'annaha kawkabun durri. And the glass, it becomes like a shining pearl. Okay, so The light inside it is so bright that it becomes like a shining pearl. Like I said, you cannot tell what the source of the flame is because the whole inside of the glass, it has become illuminated. Okay, it is like those glass lamps that you have. Okay, you have, if you take it off, you'll see a bulb right there. But if you put the glass lamp, which covers the whole bulb, I'm not sure what it's called. It is attached completely to the ceiling, and inside it is a bulb. Okay, but you can't see the bulb, but you can see that the whole of the lamp becomes illuminated outside. But if you take that off, you'll find one or two bulbs inside it. Okay, now you see that it's not the whole lamp that was being illuminated outside, but in fact there was a source. There were two bulbs inside that was illuminating the whole thing inside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this flame is inside a glass, and that glass becomes illuminated completely and it becomes like a shining pearl. And يُوْقَدُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. And it is as if this fire has been lit from a mubarak, a blessed tree. What is that blessed tree? It is the tree of olives. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ said about the oil of the olive tree, that it is the oil from a blessed tree, so you should consume that oil, you should use that oil, and you should also rub it on your body. So this is shown to us from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and in the modern days, they say that the olive oil is best for you, and it keeps the cholesterol down, it's high in monounsaturates, it's low in saturated fat. It is basically, you can say, it has zero saturated fats, okay? And basically, if you have high cholesterol, then you should switch to olive oil as one of the means of lowering your cholesterol. And of course, diet and exercise, okay? The rest of the diet should not be compromised just because you're eating olive oil. You should have a good diet, okay? And you should exercise. And olive oil is one of those things which you can use to lower your risk of a heart attack, and it will help you in controlling your cholesterol. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُوْقَدُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ زَيْتُونَ. It is litten from a blessed tree, the tree of the zaytun, لَا شَرْقِيَّةٍ وَلَا غَرْبِيَّةٍ. And that tree is neither eastern nor western. Okay, what does that mean? It is neither an eastern tree nor a western tree. So when I asked some people about this, they had different interpretations. A tree in the east or a tree in the west, but it's a tree in the middle. But this is not what is meant here. Okay, you have, for example, you have a tree right in the middle of a field. Okay, and that tree, it is exposed to the sunlight from the time the sun rises in the east and it goes all the way to the top. And then by the time it sets in the west, this tree is exposed to the sunlight. Okay, and this tree, which is exposed to the sunlight all the time, from the time the sun rises until the sun sets, this tree has the best quality of oil. This has the finest oil. Okay, so sometimes what happens is that the sun is rising in the east, and all this time the tree will get exposure to the sun, but then when it goes to the other side, there's a wall or something there, so that blocks the sunlight from hitting the tree from this side, so therefore it only got 6 hours or whatever of sunlight. And the tree which is neither eastern nor western, but it is a tree which gets light from the east and the west all the time during the sun, this is the best quality of oil that you can get. Okay, and the tree which has less exposure to the sun, the oil of it will be very thick and it will not be good to burn. Okay, so this is what is meant by لا شرقية ولا غربية. It is neither an eastern tree nor a western tree. يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيء وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٌ. It is as if the oil of this tree will become enlightened even if the fire does not touch it. Okay, so what does that mean? Either you can say that the oil itself is very shiny, okay, or as we know, the olive oil, it is very combustible. and it lights very, very easily. It heats up very easily too. Anybody who's cooked with it before, you'll find that you can put like regular corn oil or something, and it takes some time to heat up. And even when it heats up, if you have the heat on high, it will not start splashing everywhere, okay? But olive oil, when you heat it up, even at a low heat, it will start splashing and, you know, it will burn you, okay? Because it's very combustible, it heats up very, very easily. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that here. It says, يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِي وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسُ نَارُ, that it's as if the oil of that tree, it will start lightening, meaning it will start burning, even if the fire is not touching it. Okay? And of course, this is kind of like an exaggeration, but to show the quality of the oil and to show how powerful that oil is, it's as if even the fire is not touching it, but it will start to burn. That's how combustible and powerful it is. So what is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to give here? He is giving the example of His guidance, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance is like this nur that is in a lamp, that people who appreciate guidance will appreciate this light. They will take this light. They will benefit from this light. But then there are other people who will not benefit from it. They will not take the light, and they will wander around in darknesses. Okay? So that light is there. That light will remain. The guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. The knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. The only question is whether we take that and benefit from it or not. The people who are the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, they did not benefit from that light. The people who are disbelievers, they did not benefit from the light, even though that light was there. So that light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance, will not diminish until the day of judgment. It just depends on the people who are willing to take that guidance and benefit from that light of guidance. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nurun ala nur. Light upon light. Light upon light. What does that mean? There are a few interpretations. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, the light upon light means the iman of the slave and his deeds. Okay, these are two lights. One is the light of the iman that a person has in his heart, followed by him practicing. These are the two nurs that are meant here. And another interpretation is Ubay ibn Ka'b, he says, Al-mu'minu yataqallabu fi khamsati min an-nur. The mu'min, he is always wandering around in five types of nur. فَكَلَامُهُ نُورٌ وَعَمَلُهُ نُورٌ وَمَدْخَلُهُ نُورٌ وَمَخْرَجُهُ نُورٌ وَمَصِيرُهُ إِلَى نُورٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. There are five types of nur that a mu'min will always be in. What is that? His talking is nur. His deeds are nur. His coming in, his entrance is a nur. His going out is a nur. Basically, his whole life is surrounded by nur. And ultimately, وَمَصِيرُهُ إِلَى نُورٍ, at the end, he will go towards nur on the Day of Judgment, and this will take him into paradise, into Al-Jannah. And a third opinion about this, Ibn Abbas again, he came to Ka'ab al-Ahbar, and he said to him, حَدِّثْنِي عَنْ قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيءُ وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسُ نَارٍ قَالْ يَكَادُ مُحَمَّدُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُبَيِّنُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَوْ لَمْ يَتَكَلَّمْ يُبَيِّنُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَوْ لَمْ يَتَكَلَّمْ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ كَمَا يَكَادُ ذَلِكَ زَيْتُ أَنَّهُ يُضِيءُ. Ka'b al-Ahbar said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his visual image was such that even if he did not say a single word, you could tell from his face that he was the Prophet of Allah. This is what it's meant by يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيءُ وَلَمْ تَمْسَسُ نَارٍ, that the thing about the Prophet ﷺ, the unique thing was that he was مُضِي, meaning he was giving off light of prophethood even if he didn't say a single word. Just like this oil is so blessed that it is giving off light, it's as if even without the fire touching it. And then the nur upon nur, Suddi says about that, nurun nar wa nuru zayt hina ijtama'a adaa wa la yudhi'u wahid bighayri sahibi. Okay. كذلك نور القرآن ونور الإيمان حين اجتمعا فلا يكون واحد منهما إلا بصاحبه. That just like نور على نور means that just like the fire and the oil, they cannot light without each other. The fire cannot be on its own, just like a fire on its own somewhere in the middle of the sky. That's not going to happen. Okay, it's not going to be in the middle of the room. It has to be attached to the fire, and in this day and age, it has to be. You can't just take a electric bulb and hold it in your hand and expect it to light. It has to be attached to the power source. It has to be attached to electricity for it to be lit. Okay. So similarly, both of them, they are together at all times. Similarly, the Quran and Iman, Quran, the nur of the Quran and the nur of the Iman, they have to be together to be, you know, very powerful. The nur of Iman and the nur of the Quran, they cannot be without each other. Okay, so this is what is meant by nurun ala nur, nur upon nur. Nur meaning light upon light. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَىٰ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides to His nur whom He wants. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He explains the examples for people. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the full knowledge of everything. So, يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَىٰ. What does that mean? What I've mentioned earlier, that the nur is there. Okay? And the guidance is always there. But who is going to take that guidance? Who is going to accept that guidance? Who is going to become a Muslim? Who is going to have Iman? This is the choice of the person who, you know, accepts guidance or not. And this is what is termed as tawfiq. We say, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives me tawfiq to do such and such a thing. Well, the tawfiq will not come until you take actions, until you do something. Okay, if you want that guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives these examples for the people so that they benefit and they learn and they understand. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fi buyutin adhina Allahu an turfa'a wa yudhkara fiha ismuh yusabbihu lahu fiha bil ghuduwi wal asal rijalun la tulhihim tijaratun wa la bay'un 'an dhikrillah wa iqamis salah wa ita'iz zakah yakhafuna yawman tataqallabu fihi al qulubu wal absar." Okay, in houses, and here there are two interpretations, two meanings. Either it means the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the buyutullah, or it could mean regular houses of people also. Both interpretations and both meanings can be taken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He permitted, and again, permitted is the word being used here, adhina, to give permission. But it means also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, adhina Allahu an turfa'a wa yuthkara fiha ismuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that they be raised. They be raised meaning they be built. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that they be built. Wa yuthkara fiha ismuh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that His name be mentioned in those houses. What happens in those houses? What is going on in those houses? Either the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the regular houses of people that have been built by people. What is going on inside them or what should be going on inside them? يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ رِجَالٌ. Inside them, morning and evening, there are people who glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the purpose of the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to pronounce the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ. Who are those people? What quality do they have? رِجَالٌ. They are such people, such men. لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. That tijara, their business, their buying and selling, it does not prevent them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the establishing of the salat and the giving of the zakat. These are the qualities that is of those people who raise up the masajid, that dwell in the masajid, they stay in the masajid, and they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masajid. They do not let their businesses and their work prevent them from remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. They are afraid of that day in which the qulub, the hearts, and the absar, the visions, they will turn. Meaning, it will be such a fearful day, the day of judgment, that the hearts will be turned, the eyes will be turned. It's going to be a very, very, very stressful time for everybody because nobody knows where they're going to be ending up. So because of that, everybody's going to be afraid. So because they have that fear of that day in the first place, they do not neglect the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, and they fulfill the commandments, they fulfill His obligations, and they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are they like that? لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا وَيَزِيدَهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could reward them better than what they did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reward is going to be better than our deeds. Why? Because, you know, if we were to spend our whole life in sajda for just one blessing that Allah gave us, just say the blessing of our eyes, it will not be sufficient. The sajda, it will not be sufficient of our whole life. So what about all the rest of the blessings that He gave us? Our hands, our feet, our mouth, you know, our ears, the ability to walk, the ability to talk, the ability to think, the ability to retain, the ability to memorize, the ability to love, the ability to have feelings. All of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, and yet we do so little. We pray 5 times daily. How long does it take? 5, 10, 15 minutes at the most a person takes to pray. Okay, but a person's, the blessings that Allah has given, they are continuous all day. 24 hours those blessings are with us. They do not give up on us. They do not stop coming. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He rewards us in the hereafter, it is not going to be for our deeds. It is not for our deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us with His mercy. He is going to reward us for with His mercy, and He's going to reward us better than the deeds that we did. So this is what is meant here. لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا وَيَزِيدَهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ. And even more He will increase from His own blessing. Allah will continue to increase from His blessing. Why? Because He saw that His slave was willing to worship Him and be obedient to Him and try to lead his life in His obedience. وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَن يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives rizq to whom He wants without any reckoning. Okay, either in this world or the hereafter. And here it's really meant in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain and give a person in the hereafter without any reckoning, and unlimited rewards are waiting for us in the hereafter. So in the first section, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described His nur, His guidance, and He described in the next section, He described those people that take His guidance in completion. Those were the people that actually took iman, they accepted iman, and they became good practicing Muslims. This is what was in the second section. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those people that did not accept Islam, and they relied on their deeds, whatever they did, and basically the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, they thought that their deeds will be sufficient for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, it is not going to work like that. Iman is the catalyst with which your deeds will be accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ كَسَرَابٍ بِقِيعَةٍ يَحْسَبُهُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. Those people that did kufr, they did not accept Islam, their deeds are like a mirage. You know, from far away, even you see it while traveling on the road on a hot day sometimes, you see that it seems like there's water on the ground. Okay, but when your car comes closer to it, it disappears. Okay, so Allah says that these people are doing their deeds and they think that they will be rewarded for their deeds, just like a person who sees water from far off, a thirsty person, a dham'an. A dham'an means a person who is extremely thirsty. He sees this water from far off and he goes to it, and he thinks that he's going to quench his thirst. Okay? But in reality, there's no water there. So these people, in the hereafter, there will be nothing for them there. They will not get anything for what they did. All of whatever they did, it will be like a mirage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ Once he comes to it, once he comes to where the mirage was, لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا He doesn't find anything there. So similarly, the same person, the kafir, the disbeliever, he will come to the hereafter and he will find there's nothing there for him. وَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابًا And he will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will complete for him his reckoning. Meaning, he will give him his reckoning that you had no iman. So your deeds will be wasted and you will get nothing in the hereafter. So his hisab will be completed. Wallahu sariul hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his hisab, his reckoning is very, very swift. Another example. أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرِ اللُّجِّيِّ يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ Okay, a person who does not have the light of guidance. Remember what we said right at the beginning, the light of guidance, Allah's nur. If a person does not have that, then he's swimming about in darkness. He is, even though he is in full light, physical light, but in reality, he is testing the waters everywhere. One day he's a Scientologist, the other day he's a Buddhist, the next day he's an atheist, the next day he's an agnostic, and so on and so forth, swimming around in darkness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives us this example here. Or the example of that person who is doing kufr is like the darknesses in the ocean, in the deep ocean. يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ It is like a wave is overpowering him. And then a wave on top of that also. And on top of that, there is the darkness of the clouds. Okay, you have the darkness of the night, you have the darkness of the water, okay? And not only the darkness of the water, but waves upon waves. Okay, this is a new discovery that it's not just the waves that are on the surface of the water, but currents, there are undercurrents too. Underneath the current of the top current, there are undercurrents too. So you have waves on the surface, and you have waves underneath too. And these waves underneath, they're very, very dangerous. They can actually make a person drown. They can take a person out to sea if he's trying to swim in the sea. So this person, he's in the darkness of the ocean. He is in the darkness of the night. He's in the depths of the ocean. There are waves on top of him. And on top of that, there are even more waves. And then it's a cloudy night. There's no moon. So it's so dark. This is the darkness of a person who does not have the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How dark is it? ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ Darknesses on top of each other. Okay, and this is again, scientifically it's been proven that when you go deep into the ocean, the more deeper you go, the darker it becomes. Okay, so there are different layers of darkness inside the ocean too. Okay, and when you go deep into the ocean, it becomes pitch black. Pitch black, you cannot see anything. Really dark. Why? Because the light from the surface, it does not go inside the actual ocean, right to the bottom of the ocean, okay? The bending of the light when it hits the water, it is known as refraction, okay? And it bends to a point that it doesn't go through. The light does not go through to the depths of the ocean, okay? So this person is in these darknesses, darkness upon darkness upon darkness, all of these darknesses around him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا When he takes his hand out to look at it, he cannot even see his own hand. That's how dark it is. So this is the darkness when you do not have the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is mentioned at the beginning. So what should we be striving for? We should be striving for the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the shape of the Quran and the Sunnah, the teachings. That is the guidance. That is the nur. That is the thing that we need to strive for. And without these things, without this guidance, we're like this person that is swimming around in the darknesses. ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. These darknesses, they are on top of each other. And another fine point here, it says, اللَّهُ نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. There's only one light of guidance. There's only one light, nur. But ظُلُمَات, darknesses, there are different darknesses, different ways that you could be led astray, different kinds of misguidances, different routes that you could take to be away and astray from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned a few just a minute ago. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. And for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not make light, then that person will not have light. So again, the guidance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nur is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to strive for that nur. We have to seek that nur. We have to look for that nur. We have to look for that guidance. We have to ask for that guidance. Okay? And this is what we do every single salat, every single raka'ah of salat. Ihdina siratul mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us towards siratul mustaqim, the straight path, the guided path. Okay? The path of those people whom you have favored, and not the people who have been worthy of your anger, and nor the ones who are astray. So this is what we ask for every single salat. The nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was what this lesson was about. The difference between the nur, the people who are guided by the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those people who are in between, hypocrites. They do their thing, but yet they don't have iman, they don't have faith. And then right at the end, the people who are completely in all different forms of kufr and all different forms of disbelief, and they are wandering around in darkness. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the nur, and He grants us the guidance, and He gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه فالشمس والقمر من أنوار حكمته والبحر والأرض خير من عطاياه ربي لا أريد سواه